This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Meditation on Identity and History. And at 11:30, Radio Zine welcomes Oregon Poet Laureate Paulanne Peterson. She will read poems from her new full-length collection, Understory, and discuss her role as an ambassador of poetry with host Lee Ann Krantz. Thanks, KBOO members, for supporting this community radio station. If you're not a member, go online and find out how you can donate today. Go to kboo.fm. Stick around. Teresa Mitchell is up next with Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know, right after this.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
Wisdom of the Elders is committed to Native American cultural sustainability, multimedia education, and race conciliation. It especially seeks to correct misconceptions and prejudice, to bring health and wellness to Native people, and demonstrate how Indian culture has and is continuing to enrich our worlds. An Evening with Wisdom of the Elders, its second annual gala, is planned for Friday, June 21st, at 6:30 p.m. in the Rose Ballroom of the Ainsworth Event Center in Southwest Portland. The featured guest and keynote speaker will be Deanna D. Dart, Ph.D., curator of Native American art at the Portland Art Museum. Cedar Rose will perform a collaborative musical effort that focuses on traditional and contemporary Native American sounds formed by Karen Kitchen and Nico Wind. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University's new Bachelor of Arts in Media and Film Studies, where you can explore how media in all forms affect not only how we view the world, but how we shape it. You'll learn the power of media and how you can use that power to become a participant in change. Now accepting applications, details at merrillhurst.edu/KBOO.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. Well, I didn't hear it going into this program, but earlier today and several times over the last week, heard an announcement saying that there is no progressive talk radio in Portland, which confuses me a bit. I rather thought that here on KBOO, for example, the person who just left the studio was doing progressive talk radio, or you could call it that. Then there's, let's see, Monday Progressive Talk Radio, Tuesday Progressive Talk Radio, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday Progressive Talk Radio. So this has left me a little, well, confused. But this is all about the possibility of bringing in the commenter Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is a nationally known commenter and was available on the local Clear Channel-owned AM radio station for a while here in Portland, the one that started off as Air America. And that station is gone because it was owned by capitalists and by particularly reactionary capitalists. And I was actually rather surprised that they let it go as long as they did. I did observe when I was listening to that off and on that they apparently made no particular effort. They practically had to let people beat down the door to put local advertising on it. So I don't think that the capitalists that own it, Texas Group, Clear Channel, were very serious about allowing progressive radio to go on very long. But so then, you know, so what I'm saying here is, hello, KBOO, we're here. And, you know, I was kind of saying that during the time. I didn't hear very many mentions of KBOO on KPOJ while that was going on. But we're here. We're nonprofit. We're community radio. We don't take money from the government. We don't take money from corporations. So the question, and you can pull up KBOO.fm and you can look and you can vote. The question is whether to put Tom Hartman's live show for 3 hours a day on the afternoon on KBOO. And so that would be a rather dominating presence. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. It'd be an interesting change. However, there's something more about that. This is community radio, and we have community programs that are in that strip, mostly music. And some of these are what's left of our Hispanic programming. So I wonder what you think about that. I mean, I like Tom Hartman's broadcasts. I don't see why we need to have him on for 15, let's see, would it be 15? Yeah, it'd be 15 hours a week. Seems a lot for a community radio station. There isn't anyone here who takes that much time. I've been satisfied with my 30 minutes a week here for decades, and proud to still be here. So I would invite your call about that if you're wondering what that is about. You know, one thing I like about Tom Hartman is that, for example, recently he called for the impeachment of President Obama, pointing out that Obama is merely continuing the policies of George Bush. And I've been saying that often, and I suppose you've heard that on the Old Mole, perhaps, that, you know, we have a different face on corporate rule, but it's still the same corporate rule. And there's a question that I have besides taking up so much time with a non-local program, and that is that, you know, this is community radio, and we have Spanish language broadcasting, and I really don't know that, I haven't heard anything from the Spanish language broadcasters or listeners, whether they would be in favor of that. So, así que, por favor, la llamada, si desea que la quitará la sección martes. You know, and what I said is, if you were, give us a call if you want to wipe out the Tuesday section with Tom Hartman. That seems to be the way it is put. Is not the question is not do you want any of Tom Hartman's program, but rather do you want it 15 hours a week? Number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Llama ahora. Things are happening around the world. They're kind of exciting. People are standing up to capitalism. You may have heard that there are protests in Brazil and in Turkey. Well, there is definitely an anti-capitalist quality to both of those protests. There have been protests in Sweden. As I was saying, in 2011... Occupy cracked the door open on class analysis, and that door can't be shut again. And I knew then that things would progress. People would start becoming aware of just how much the super rich oppress them. From BBC, a Turkish protester dubbed the Standing Man has led a vigil on Istanbul's Taksim Square days after the authorities evicted demonstrators. Performance artist Erdem Gunduz stood silently for 8 hours facing a portrait of the founder of modern secular Turkey, Kemal Atatürk. Hundreds of others joined him in the square, which has reopened on Monday before being dispersed by police. Now, departing from that article, that suggests, sounds like a could be a pretty effective protest here in the United States. Finding a symbol, going and facing the symbol. Now, and back to what I was saying about anti-capitalists, this whole thing blew up. The sparking point, it's really about corruption, and but the sparking point was the idea that the equivalent of Central Park was going to be torn down and replaced with a shopping mall. Pave paradise and put up a parking lot. It was on the agenda, and people did not want it. And they occupied that square. And the establishment, Erdogan, reacted violently and furiously. And I would say with a certain amount of panic, because, as I was saying, of that anti-capitalist quality. And the anti-capitalist idea is that, well, maybe making rich people richer isn't the purpose of society. And I like that. Returning to BBC, there are many, many young people on the streets, according to Mr. Gunduz. He says, I'm nothing. The idea is important. Why people resist the government. The government doesn't want to understand, didn't try to understand why people are on the streets. This is really silent resistance. I hope people stop and think, what happened here? His protest quickly captured the imagination of the protest movement. The hashtag Duran Adam, standing man, dominated Turkish language Twitter on Tuesday morning. So there's more on that. I think you can find better articles. BBC actually covered more of the whole of it, so I use that. But anyway, and from Al Jazeera, Dateline Sao Paulo, Brazil, what started in anger over a 20-cent transport bus fare increase, has ballooned into Brazil's most significant social unrest in decades, with tens of thousands taking to the streets demanding economic justice. For a week now, annoyed Brazilians throughout the country have expressed their discontent with the status quo by amassing themselves mostly peacefully in the country's biggest cities. Following the lead of Sao Paulo, Brazil's biggest metropolis, other centers have seen similar scenes of mass demonstration, including Rio de Janeiro and the nation's capital, Brasilia. Estimates put the number of protesters in the hundreds of thousands, with as many as 100,000 demonstrators in both Sao Paulo and Rio on Monday night. Hell yeah. And the indigenous are again protesting in Argentina. I was lucky enough to see one of those. Man, it was inspiring. It was just amazing to see indigenous communities just march by the thousands down to the Casa Rosada in Buenos Aires. But returning to the Al Jazeera article, it doesn't appear the protests will fade away anytime soon. The government, meanwhile, deployed its National Force Police Unit to 5 of the 6 cities hosting the Confederations Cup. The Brasilia-based unit, consisting of special operations officers from the Ministry of Justice, have been sent to hot spots in the past. It all began with a decision to hike bus fares by 20 cents in Sao Paulo to $1.50 per trip, but the unrest quickly spread to other cities, signaling deeper issues are at play. By the way, what do you think about having to pay $2.50 to catch a bus here in Portland, in the Portland metro area? You know, that's as much as it costs in New York. And before you blame the union, I'd like to point out that the union drivers in New York get paid a lot more. So that kind of wipes out that argument, doesn't it? I mean, if they're paying the drivers more in New York and the fare is the same, then why is the fare so high here, you might want to ask. Number to call, 503-231-8187. This is a quote from a protester in Al Jazeera. Says, I'm Brazilian, and this is a fight for the Brazilian worker, the ones who need public transportation daily and struggle because of it. That's according to Leonora Ferreira, a 56-year-old civil servant. She also said, I need to show my support because I use the bus and the metro every single day, and this will make a huge difference in my pocket. As with many other Brazilians, I have a small salary. Thomas is on the line, and I want to say also, just before I go to Thomas, that I have news about the economy that is not good, and that's an understatement. Hi, Thomas, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Teresa.
Hey. Good morning.
Great. Just a few quick thoughts about this proposal to bring the Tom Hartman Show to KABU.
All right, then.
I perhaps as many other KABU listeners have listened back when Air America was broadcast locally, and I listened to it back in California occasionally, too. And I have to say that back then, I was just really a little bit borderline horrified that the same sort of hyper-capitalist model with all of the commercialism. And, I mean, you listen to some Air America broadcasts, and you hear all the same mortgage and banking fraudsters doing their commercials, netting people, and then you jump right.
And quack cures, which kind of goes back to tradition in radio. I mean, perhaps you remember the history of how radio kind of started off in the United States with quack cures being broadcast off across the Mexican border, but go ahead.
Right, and then also a number of the hosts, though not all of them, a number of the hosts began assuming sort of a, almost like if you can't beat them, join them, Rush Limbaugh-esque quasi sort of insulting delivery, which I thought was a little bit too far. And then also, but most alarmingly, I found particularly during the election, last two presidential election cycles, a good number of the regular talk show hosts on Air America were just nakedly pro-democratic partisans and did just, all sorts of gymnastic gyrations to avoid any sort of difficult questions. So really, I just considered almost a naked Democratic partisan station. And now as far as Tom Hartman, he was notably less vehemently and nakedly partisan. Indeed, despite some initial hesitancy to do so early in the Obama presidency, I'd have to say that Tom Hartman probably has been more forthcoming and intellectually honest in criticizing it. But my concern is this. I think that if you invite a big nationally syndicated show like that that's associated with establishment Democrat listenership, there's a real, I understand what the thinking is. You bring the show on there, you bring a whole new bunch of listeners that are contributors, they bring money to KABU, then the people that listen will listen to other KABU programs.
Do they bring money, though? I mean, we don't know that for a certainty. We have an attitude from KABU listeners that allows us to get, supposedly, 1 out of 10 to contribute, which I think is astounding. And
right.
I don't know piping in 15 hours a week of non-local broadcasting would have the same effect. Maybe it would.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that is a speculation of thinking. I may be wrong, but I can envision that might be some of the thinking in the advocacy camp. On the other side of the coin, the saying, you never invite in a vampire? And I'm not saying Mr. Hartman's a vampire, but what I'm suggesting is that I fear this possibility that if you get this this growing listenership of people that go to KABU, there's a good chance that people that are very conventional in their viewpoints that are just open enough in their thinking to listen to Tom Hartman are going to be rather outraged when they hear a Teresa Mitchell or they hear a Pierre Fahlgren and Fight the Empire. And what's going to happen when people like that start getting into the boards? Are they going to try to steer a KABU into another KPOJ? In other words, I see the real potential, and I'm not suggesting anything overtly nefarious, but I see a real potential for a huge culture clash and a fight instead of having a bunch of the establishment Democrats set sort of embrace and grow from the existing KABU programming. I see a potential ideological and power fight, and that's what I really, really fear. So I hate to say, let's not have Tom Hartman, but boy, I do have some fears.
Okay, thank you for your opinion there. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Now, this is actually how we manage change at KABU, and I think it's quite a community way, and it's an effective way. It's not as quick as having top-down leadership just say, it's going to be this way, or here is a choice, which is not subject to further alteration by the community. I would consider, actually, I think the way that this has been presented is a little tone deaf, and especially in view of the fact that there are people who rather enjoy having some Hispanic broadcasting. And I also think it's good for people generally to listen to another language. And, I mean, para aprender español es fácil. You can do it. Hi, Trout. How you doing?
La lucha continua.
Yeah, it does.
And man, that guy spoke much more eloquently about the Tom Hartman thing than I could. However, I listened to him every morning for 6 years when he first came on the air, and then periodically afterwards.
You know, you can hear him at noon every day on, you know, TomHartmann.com. It's a live broadcast.
Exactly. And he's on 60 stations nationally still. He's on free speech TV, I believe, on the internet, as well as TomHartmann.com. What I remember about him and what eventually turned me off is, and he continues to this day when I check in now and then, he'll very readily brag about how he was a member of SDS when he was younger.
Uh-huh.
But now he's a Democratic Party, a big D Democratic Party. Yeah, he will tackle some issues that some of the others won't, like the previous caller said, but he's against boycotts. He's virulently against boycotts. In all of those years that I did listen, the only time that I heard him mention KABU was during his last month on the air before he was moving to Washington, D.C. And he said, yeah, when I first moved to town, KABU was nice enough to let me use a studio to do some of my production work before he actually got on the air with Clear Channel as his employer. And he said, there's some nice folks over there. Uh-huh. And this took about 15 seconds for him to say that.
Okay.
Never did he talk about the vast network of community radio stations, how important they were. Never did he talk about Pacifica or the Origins. This guy is not in the streets with us. He's not connected to our community. This is a guy who started 14 different companies or something like that, lives in D.C., is a millionaire, does good work, I'm sure, but he's totally a believer in capitalism and an unapologetic capitalist.
So that sounds like a no vote for 15 hours a week of Tom Hartmann.
Oh, you can bet your ass it was a no vote.
All right. I'll put it in hock right now.
Okay. You have a good day.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Okay, number to call, 503-231-8187. I said that I was going to give you some news about the economy. I started off giving you news about the protests. I was trying to be inspiring. But listen, things are about to, well, crash. I really think things are about to crash. Let me give you some information on that. Now, this is this could be a case of confirmation bias, but I've been looking at things, thinking kaboom. Mostly the thing that drives me to that is, well, a sort of cloud of statistics, and also, let me read some of these reasons. This is from Economic Collapse blog. That's what I meant by confirmation bias. I went and sought that out and found these things that are bothering me brought together in a nice article by pseudonym Michael. He writes, the average interest rate on a 30-year mortgage has risen above 4% the first time in a year. The decline in the number of mortgage applications last week was the largest drop since June 2009. Actually, he's talking about earlier this month. Now, 2009 comes up in this list. There's 12 items. Listen to how many times 2009 comes up. 2009 being, of course, when everything collapsed. Third item, economist Mark Hansen is reporting that mass layoffs have occurred at three large mortgage institutions. A quote from him, this morning I was made aware that three large private mortgage bankers I follow closely for trends in mortgage finance all had mass layoffs last Friday and yesterday to the tune of 25 to 50% of their operations staff, intake, processing, underwriting, document drawing, funding, post-closing. This obviously means that reports of refi applications being down 65 to 90% in the last 3 weeks are far more accurate than in the lagging MBA index. Fourth, it was just announced that average hourly compensation in the United States experienced its largest drop since 2009 during the first quarter of 2013. There's that that year again, since 2009. And I want to add to this, by the way, if you look in the middle of the economy, if you look at what is the middle of the class, if it's not middle class, whatever, and you see how much people have in the median when they are middle class, you know, the people who have the jobs, have the education, doing okay in the United States, we are 27th worldwide in wealth. And people have, this means that if you're doing okay, you can pull out $38,000 in an emergency from all of your assets. That's on the average, which is pitiful. In Britain, you can pull $115,000, which still, that's half a house. In Japan, far more. I mean, you've been kicked. Do you feel the bruise yet? Anyway, going down the to the lists, the Institute for Supply Management Manufacturing Index declined to 49.0 in May. Any reading below 50 indicates contraction, worse since 2009. There's that number again. The inventory to sales ratio has hit a level not seen since, guess, 2009. According to the Commerce Department, the demand for computers dropped by a stunning 9% during the month of April. That's one of those big indicators. Corporate revenues are falling at Walmart, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks, AT&T, Safeway, American Express, IBM. Job growth at small businesses is at now about half the level it was at the beginning of the year. The stock market is starting to understand all these numbers indicate the economy is really starting to slow down. There was a 216-point drop earlier this month. The S&P 500 dropped 4% on the 22nd, or after the 22nd. Japanese stocks down 17% earlier this month. All these things brought together, looking at that Baltic Dry Index still under 1,000, looking at the loan, I forget the name of it, but the loans that are made for speculation in the stock market going up to about 2.4% of GDP, all of these things brought together indicate kaboom! And exactly when, I don't know, but it's not sustainable. The double dip's about to hit. What are you going to do about it? That's what you need to ask yourself. That's when I say the news you're not supposed to know. I'd say look into preparing for a great big old economic problem rolling around probably this year or within the next year. And so I said all that, and I also invited calls. And so if you're still waiting on the line, I'd love to talk to you. The number to call, 503-231-8187, and Elliot is on the line.
Yeah, this is inevitably a comment for the ears of Lynn Fitch as the supervisor. You could bring in Tom Hartman for less than the 15 hours. For me, with a understanding of KABU as one sample point in the group of community radio stations, there's a long tradition at the so-called community stations of having one early entrant insider group of producers bar the door to any new producers for years on end, in some cases, you know, tenuring themselves for decades.
Oh, I could see that having 15 hours a week would definitely make that worse.
I'm generous about these stations, but I feel that it's the better thing to withhold donations until some tenure limits are applied so that people with interesting creative new ideas can get a fair chance to be on the air.
So you want more like a community access sort of radio stations, or like TV access?
Because it's a finite resource, an extremely finite resource. The reason that WBAI in New York is going bankrupt and that KPFA and places and other places like that
are experiencing
repeated financial crises is that there are instances of virtually no change in the programming grid, literally a programming grid with an inch thick of plexiglass on top of it in the offices, because
if you have
no
a program suggestion,
give up their seat.
Why don't you go to the program committee and work through the system here?
Look, I personally don't want to be on the radio, but I've seen for years on end, you know, these stations have programming committees and all kinds of committees. I've seen no inclination to change despite the steadily ebbing audience.
You know,
and that is a sign of objective pathology.
That's an interesting, well, I don't think it's a pathology at all. For one thing, we really don't care if we're close to the wire on money. We've been much, much closer to the wire because we're not about money. We're community radio. I mean, heck, when I first got on the board, we used to go to the bank every summer and borrow money. That was a much worse situation than we have now. Hey, thanks very much for your comments. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned because we have more of the incredible, inedible, inevitable radio zine coming up. I think you'll enjoy it.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual 2013 Closer Electronic Music Festival, which starts June 20th. Closer PDX is hosting this cutting-edge electronic music and dance festival with an unparalleled selection of local and regional talent and labels. The Closer Electronic Music Festival is being held on the inner sides of East and West Portland at many different venues. From the kickoff at Crush on June 20th to the closer at Selwood Riverfront on June 23rd, there will be more than 50 performers and special guests. More information and tickets for this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, this is Per Fargring. Welcome to Fight the Empire. And my my guest today is Moji Aga, who is the founder of the Mossadegh Legacy Institute. He's a Iranian-American cultural psychologist who lives in Arizona, who founded this institute, and he's on a tour to promote the legacy of Mohammad Mossadegh. Well, Moji Aga, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much, and